Hallelujah. Right. So today I'm going to be sharing with us, pretty much picking up from where our pastor stopped last week. And I've titled this message, Powered by Love. Powered by Love. Amen. Let us open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading from verse 35 to the end. Romans 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. And you know, if you've been saved for any amount of time, you must have stumbled across this scripture and you've heard it preached. But I want to take a deep dive into what is being said here. And that question, who can separate us from the love? Or what can separate you from the love of God? I want us to focus on that question. He didn't say, who can separate the love of God from you? It didn't say that. It says, who can separate you from the love of God? Which means God's love is constant. Amen? The love of God is not in question here. God loves you. Can you help me preach to your neighbor and tell him God loves you? God loves you. Let us look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And if you can help me with that in the New Living Translation. I'm going to be going back and forth between New Living Translation, King James, and the Message. And it says there, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. His own. What translation is that? Try the Message. Or do we have different types of NLT? Or maybe the Amplified. Either way, I like this translation. So if you can find this, fine. Otherwise, I'm going to read what I have. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Amplified says, but God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. So that settles it. Before you showed up, God already demonstrated his love for us. So his love predates you. You can say it is a pre-existing condition. Hallelujah. Let us look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. And please put that up in the Message. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Okay, it says, God told them, I've never quit loving you. I have never. Up until this very moment, I have never for once stopped loving you. And guess what? I will never will. or I never will. Wow, that's some fantastic English. Amen? I never will. So up until this moment, I have not stopped loving you. And just in case you're thinking, maybe what I did last night might, you know, exclude me from this love. No, he's saying he never will stop loving you. So that love is there. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His love is there for us. He will not stop loving us. It doesn't matter what anybody has to say or do. God's love won't stop flowing to us. Amen. Now, if you look at all the things that were listed there, you know, shall death, nor neither death, nor life. Those things don't affect God. Amen. All those things listed, principalities and powers, things present, things to come, they don't affect God. He controls it all. And so he doesn't control or impede his love towards you. Hallelujah. So you wake up one morning and you're feeling unloved. Guess what? God loves you. His love is there. So that love, we can settle at the back of our minds right now that this scripture is not necessarily asking whether God loves you. Guaranteed. God loves you. But let's take it a little further. I didn't even start my clock. So, well, here we go. But trust me, it's going to be a brief message. But let's take it a little further. Yes, God loves us. But his love does not discriminate. His love does not discriminate. So his love is not only for a certain group of people. It doesn't matter how holy you feel, and you feel, okay, you know what? We are the chosen ones. You know, if you were not born in a certain place, if you don't look a certain way, then you are not, you know, qualified to be loved by God. No. That is not scripture. And if you ever hear anybody talking about any group of people, regardless who they are, suggesting in any way that God's love is far from them or God does not love them, that is a false preacher. That's a false prophet. Do not listen to that person going forward. Amen? That is, because the love of God is at the core of what we are doing here right now. The love of God is the reason why we are here. Amen? So if somebody is suggesting that somebody somewhere is not qualified to be loved by God, then what makes you qualified to be loved by God? Amen? So the love of God does not discriminate. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, look at the words in there, whosoever. So whosoever includes everybody and excludes nobody. So if at the back of your mind you feel, you know, I don't believe that person who is about to blow up a church could possibly qualify to be loved by God. Guess what? For as long as God did not consult you and say, you know what? To save the world, we need you to contribute a pint of blood, you know, so we can put it together with the blood of Jesus, and then we can redeem. As long as the Lord did not consult you, your opinion doesn't matter with regards to God's love. No matter how righteous you feel, yes, people will hurt you. People will do things that will make you feel, how can God even die for this kind of person? Well, guess what? He did. Maybe the Lord saved you before you did the kind of thing that person is doing. That is why you can say that. Amen. This I tell you, if you take the time to listen to what people are saying out there, you know, especially people in the kingdom of God, you know, talking about the unsaved. Trust me, if I was unsaved, I wouldn't dare try to want to be saved. Because we have raised the standard so high that you cannot do anything to qualify. That is why the Lord didn't ask you, you know, okay, these are the list of things you need to do before I can love you and then save you. No. There is no list. You don't have to be saved to be saved. You get what I mean? You don't have to get good, you know, act righteous, and then the Lord look at it and say, okay, yes, you've ticked all the boxes. Okay, right now, we cannot move you into the redemption class. No. No. He loves you, period. No discrimination. Regardless the color of your skin, regardless where you were born, the family you were born into, regardless what you did last night or even just before you came to church, God loves you. He doesn't discriminate. His love is poured out and is reaching out to you constantly. Constantly. So don't listen to anybody who is telling you that, you have walked out of God. You can't walk out of his love. You can't. No matter how hard you try. Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's verse 17 going down. Talking about the breadth and the love of God being, you know, you cannot comprehend the love of God. It's way beyond comprehension. You know, so you can't, you know, you remember the song about you can't get around the love of God. You can't get over the love of God, the wonderful love of God. It's not just a song. That is for real. Amen. That is why when you read verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. So you don't fall into condemnation and feel like, oh my goodness, I've done it again. Oh no. Yeah, I guess the portion of the blood that was shed for me, I've exhausted it, so no more redemption for me. No! You are loved! Amen! The Lord didn't say, okay, one drop of blood for you is going to redeem you. If you exhaust this, no more. No. You are redeemed. You are loved. Amen! It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what party you belong to. You know, there's some strange things I hear. You know, some people say, you know, if you belong to this particular political party, you are a demon or whatever. I don't know where they get that from. And you hear preachers saying this. That is not of God. I don't care how badly you feel about the platform of these people. Has nothing to do with God, what you're saying. Matter of fact, you are in error. Because now you're acting in all self-righteousness. Hallelujah. So we need to get it right as the body of Christ. God loves us. And there is no discrimination to his love to us. Hallelujah. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Whosoever. Not who the pastor recommends. Amen? Not who, you know, some church organization recommends. But whosoever shall call on the name. The love of God is what makes that available to you. That you can call on God and you will be saved. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you like that? Hallelujah. So love is at the core of our gospel. And when you begin to speak against this love in any way and begin to put some kind of qualifications as in somebody has to qualify, then you are in error. You invalidate this gospel. Hallelujah. The love of God to us is unquestionable. is irresistible, is overwhelmingly undeniable. He loves us regardless of us. But how much of this love you experience, you know, the effect of his love in your life, depends on you, really. Are you plugged into that love? Amen? And so the second point that I'm going to be speaking on right now is, yes, God loves you, but now you have to make it personal. I know that God loves me. Amen? You've heard it preached, God loves you. You've read the book, oh, how God loves you. You've sung the song, he loves me. But guess what? You need to know for yourself that God loves you. It has to be your personal conviction. Otherwise, you're going to wake up every morning feeling unloved. And you're going to feel that way all day long. So every day you need somebody to tell you that God loves you. And maybe you get fired up for a few minutes and then you begin to feel unloved. You have to know for yourself that God loves me. Let us look at that verse again. But let us read it in the NLT. Hopefully both NLTs are the same. Romans chapter 8 verse 35. Correct. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Does it mean that the love of God has stopped? He no longer loves you because you've prayed and this sickness won't go away. You sought the face of the Lord and it feels like he's so far away, he's so distant. Does it mean that the Lord has stopped loving you? Gas prices are high. So now you are negotiating. How much do you spend getting gas, you know, and getting groceries and all of that? Does it mean God has stopped loving you because things are a little difficult? That is a question you need to ask yourself. And honestly, a lot of people are making this statement. God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Yeah, you may feel like that sometimes, but that shouldn't be where you are. Permanently. You wake up feeling some type of way, but you remember that, no, God loves me. Yes, this is happening right now. So much chaos here. This is what I planned, you know. Lord, you gave me this job. How come I'm fired right now? What is going on? Nothing that happens in your life should rise up to the point where you begin to question the love of God for you. Nothing should ever rise to the point where you begin to question God's love for you. Because guess what? Like Minister Ngozi was saying before the worship, he said, listen, she will disappoint you. It doesn't matter how much you feel like, oh man, this is, you know, if they had any position like Deputy Holy Ghost, she should qualify. Listen, she will disappoint you. Why? Because she's human. She has her own priorities and challenges. She loves you, but when it comes down to it, you know, so she will disappoint. Not because she wants to hurt you, but you know, it just doesn't work for her at that point. Amen? So, man will disappoint you, and then you, on your own part, thinking that, oh man, this is the person that God will use to bless me, or open this door, or do whatever. And now the person disappoints you, and I feel, God, I sensed in my spirit that you were supposed to use this person. Why did this thing fail? It doesn't mean God has stopped loving you. Life just happened. Sometimes people will choose not to obey God, and ultimately it's going to impact on what the Lord is about to do in your life and maybe create some kind of delay. That should not mean you asking the question, the Lord has abandoned me. No. The Lord will raise another to have his will done. The Lord will not exclude you from his love, but you can exclude yourself from his love. Amen? So you must know in your heart that God loves you. You don't need it preached to you. You don't need, you know, some meditation tape playing overnight for you to say, I am loved by God. God loves me. No, you don't need it. It is a given. Hallelujah. You need to know it for yourself. That must be a strong conviction in your heart. The Bible says right there in verse 38 and 39 of Romans chapter 8. It says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. This is Paul's position. After saying, you know, that we are counted as sheep for the slaughter all day long, you know, but nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. He now comes down to the point, I am convinced. You don't need to tell me anything. With what I have seen and what I've been through, I know for myself that God loves me. Keep your opinion to yourself. Listen, Satan, even when the waters are raging, even when things are going wrong around, I know God loves me. Things are falling apart. I've been kicked out of my house. I know God loves me. It is settled. Satan, try another avenue. You see this love? It is settled. He said, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. So Satan, you orchestrate events and some way, somehow, I leave this planet, you still lose. Because I'm not still going to stop believing that God loves me. You keep me alive, worse for you. Because I'm still loving God. Whether you have, you know, some angel show up and suggest, I am Angel Mustafa. Guess what? If what you are saying doesn't in any way suggest that God loves me, it doesn't matter how glorious that angel is looking. You are not from my God. You may be from a God, but not from my God. Hallelujah. He says, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today. This is Paul speaking. Paul had certain, let me put it in modern English, concerns for the day. But he said, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That love that he has given, I believe that God loves me. Verse 39 says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a conviction of Paul. That is Paul's conviction. He knew this for himself. The Bible says he cried out to the Lord saying, you know, the thorn in his flesh. He didn't say, Lord, I thought you loved me. You know, that's the way we put it these days. You know, I thought you loved me. You know, I thought you care about me. No. He had some concerns. So deal with the concern directly. If you're feeling pain, you're feeling like, you know, you're feeling disappointed, you're feeling hurt, deal with that issue directly, don't question God's love. Lord, I lost my job. Why did that happen? How can we fix this? Amen? If you notice the activity of hell around you, you deal with it. You don't go crying and say, Lord, I didn't expect that this life is going to be this hard. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Let me just take a detour. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul's testimony. The man who is saying that he's convinced about God's love. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now check his resume. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. If you go further down in this scripture, this is how he qualifies all of these terrible things happening to him. He says in verse 17, for our light afflictions. Somebody that is perplexed, troubled on every side. You wake up troubled. You know, there are some times when, you know, things begin to go wrong and it looks like they say, when it rains, it pours. You turn here, this is going wrong. You turn this way, your child is acting up. You turn this way at your job, you want to smack somebody. Everything is just going wrong and it's getting to you. You are troubled on every side. But not once did he say, I need to go for requalification for God's love. Not once did he say, baby, I've done something to make God stop loving me. No. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Why we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are not seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So your troubles all have expiry dates. Sometimes, if I ask you now the troubles you came into 2022 with that made you feel like if God doesn't answer you right now, you will stop coming to church, or you just throw in the faith. And when you look back right now, you can't even remember why you made that statement. It feels like the walls are closing in on you. But at the end of the day, today now, you can look back and say, oh, wow. God took it away without even me noticing. Your troubles have expiry dates. And sometimes some of these things come into manifestation so that God can just display his glory in your life. So if you can just quieten down in Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 7, he says, you rest in his love. Just kick back and relax in his love. It hurts, yes. But relax in his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us look at Romans chapter 5 from verse 1. This is another assurance that we have in the love of God. The Bible says from verse 1. What translation is this? Let me have it in the New Living Translation. I believe that should be this. Yeah. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into his place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. When you encounter challenges, don't see it like, oh my goodness, this thing is going to kill me. No. The Lord is building you up through these things. They are not permanent features in your life. They will come and they will pass. Hallelujah. Verse 4, an endurance develops strength of character. We have a lot of people who are devoid of character all over the place, who are not properly formed. It is important. Listen, I tell anybody who is on a journey with the Lord, and you have to go through things to be properly formed. Christianity is not a game of playing it safe, avoiding problems. You've not started. You will not have staying power. You can't continue this journey. When you have an adversary with the devil, his full-time job is to frustrate you. How can you avoid him? He will locate you in your Christian home. He's not afraid. The Bible says in the book of Job that they called a meeting of the angels and the devil showed up. If the devil can show up there, what are we talking about? He said, Lord, I speak of the blood in this home right now. Nothing. He's showing up. Come to test that faith. Is this faith real or are you just, performing some drama here? The only thing that deals with the devil is faith. Faith that is established in the word of God. Not my pastor said. Or they say, you remember, I don't know, I've just deviated so much today. You remember what happened, the seven sons of Sceva in the Bible? We adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preached. That was not their personal revelation. They didn't know it for themselves. They didn't believe it for themselves. They were in it for the show. And the devil dealt with them. Seven people, seven sons, disgraced the full family. So this is no joke. This is no joke. Amen. It doesn't mean that we are weak as Christians. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong. It starts with you knowing. When you know who you are in Christ, you are solid. And you begin to do exploits. Hallelujah. Where were we? Verse 4. An endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Now, verse 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Hallelujah. Our hope, we will not be disappointed with our hope in Christ. Once your hope is established in God, you cannot be disappointed. It doesn't matter who is disappointing you around. God will not disappoint you. He says what? For we know how dearly God loves us. He says, I am convinced. I know how dearly God loves us. Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. He's overwhelming you with his love. You are going through crisis and you're feeling the embrace of the Lord. You're feeling comforted in the midst of it. Even though what you want is that that whole situation be reversed, but you're feeling the love of God right in the midst of it. You're not losing your cool. You're breaking out in tears because your flesh is weak. You're not, you just don't want this to happen. It doesn't mean that you've lost faith. You know that he loves you. How dearly the Lord loves you. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amplified says, look at the quality of love. The quality of the love of God for us. You cannot improve on the love of God for you. There are no levels to his love. You know how we talk about, you know, the grace of God and then the special grace of God. There's no special love. Love of God is the love of God. When the Lord released his love to us, he gave us everything, the highest quality of it. Greater love has no man than this. That is what the Bible says. So in case you're questioning that doctrine, that's the scripture. Amen? Greater love than this has no man. So now, all of these things I'm saying, as I begin to wind down, I told you it's going to be a short message. All of these things I'm saying, you know, before I say that, let me reference a story. I put that down here so I won't forget. About how people forget that God loves them. Now, for some, I went to visit someone and I was seated in the living room and this Christian station was on and this elderly woman was promoting her book. And come to find out, she's the daughter to a prominent, a very powerful, a great man of God who is late now. I mean, this man is world known. I mean, he is just a powerful man of God, an American. And she was seated there promoting her book. And I decided to listen. Because I'm very careful who I listen to. I don't listen to everybody. I don't care how powerful and anointed. I don't listen to everybody. I stick to the Bible and to what is happening here. Amen? Because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. You got to be careful. When you begin to let in everybody speak to you, little errors and deformed scripture begin to pour into your spirit. And before you know it, you are in full-blown error. And you begin to wonder, this word does not work. No, you are operating the wrong principle. That is not what the Bible... I can't tell you how many times I've... Let me get back to what I'm saying. Sorry. So, this woman was talking, and I decided to listen, and she was talking about the reason why she wrote the book, which was on forgiveness, was, you know, she had been through so much, grew up in a Christian home, in a close-knit family, and she said she had been around, you know, godly people all her life and did everything right. So trying to qualify for the goodness of God. And somehow, her husband cheated on her. Godly woman. And she couldn't understand it. How can this man do this? How can he hurt me like this? And the Lord was watching. And they tried to, you know, mend, you know, that relationship. It just didn't work. And now the daughter, now I believe, I mean, from my point of view, I'm like, she will be looking at herself like, oh my goodness, I'm the daughter of this great man of God. I'm about to be divorced. And all that shame, all that disappointment, all that pain, she had to go through it. And she got divorced. And not too long after that, because I believe she still loved the man died. So she had lost every chance to even reconcile or fix that. And she tried to lean on her father, But her father was unavailable to her because he was constantly traveling. And if he's around, he's entertaining guests from all over the world. So he had little to no time to attend to her. Remember, this is not a child. And she said this, she became angry at God. That God has hurt her and she's angry. And she went through that for years, carrying that bitterness, that anger for years. Now, I don't know where people get off getting angry, angry at God. Like, what is he going to do to him? Ultimately, you're going to have to come back to him to fix whatever. And she was angry, and I understand it. You know, you're hurt. You're looking for where to lean. You know, and nobody, everybody's just busy doing their own thing. You know, nobody cares like that, you know. And, of course, looking at you, they think, oh, man, she's so holy. She got it all together. Everything is good. So they keep moving. But you're carrying all of that pain, and the place where you want to get comfort from, the comfort is not coming from that angle. And most likely the Lord may have sent some people, but she felt, how can I share this with them? Nah. And you close that door. And she went through it for years. And this was the one that made me almost lose my mind when she said, she came to a point and she said, you know, she reached an agreement with God and then she forgave God. Oh, Lord, yeah. She said she forgave God. I almost lost it. I was like, yeah, no. I don't know what doctrine this is, but it definitely is not of God. Amen. It doesn't matter what family you grew up in, no matter who, you know, if you're the child of the greatest miracle worker and all of that, faith does not translate that way. You will know God for yourself. You will have your own unique experience and have your own testimony. So the Bible here is talking about building endurance, we build strength of character. So when you go through this crisis, these things are not there for God to punish you. God is building you through these things. The Bible says that when you are comforted, then you can have the ability to comfort somebody else. Somebody who has lost a father knows how to comfort somebody else who just lost theirs. You can understand the crisis. I was speaking with somebody who just lost a father. Just last night, I was speaking with her. She lost a father a couple of days ago, you know, and a couple of weeks ago, I don't know. And I was talking with her. I said, listen, allow yourself, give yourself permission to grieve. Don't go up and down acting so strong and feeling like, oh, no. Take your season and grieve. Cry. Cry the ugly cry, you know, that messed up cry. Do it. Let it out of your system. At the end of the day, rise up, dust yourself, and move on. Because trust me, it will deal with you in the future if you don't deal with it now. Amen? Back to the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. So yeah, God loves us, and we know we are convinced that he loves us. Isn't it what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28? For I know that all things work together for good. For who? So, this is the next step. How deep is your love? You know that God loves you. No question about it. You are convinced of his love. What next? What next? The Bible commands that we love him. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's what the Bible says. Book of John, John chapter 14, verse 15. The Bible says that if you really love me, you will keep my commandments. So one way to show that you love God is by walking in obedience. you obey his word. You are quick to obey the Lord. You are not consulting a friend or checking in to see whether it's suitable, it's okay for you to do. You obey the Lord promptly because you love him. Amen. But one of the key things and the key ways that we show our love for God, let us open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 16. Many years ago, I found this out in a church service that John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 are almost alike. And it says there in 1 John 3, verse 16, please let me have it in the NLT. We know what real love is. Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. The Lord is saying right here, this is the culmination of this message. I love you. Your way to show that you love me is by loving your brothers and sisters the way I have loved you. So to plug into the love of God and to enjoy the benefits and the blessings of his love, which is readily available to you, love your brother and sister. Because it's easy to sing the song about how you love God. You know, I love you, Lord. You can sing it. You can write a poem. You can write a book on the love of God. You can quote the scriptures on how much you love God. You can declare it on the mountaintop, I love God. But God says, listen, prove it. Love your brother, the one that you are seeing right now next to you. Love him. Show compassion to the world around you. Don't be quick to let people catch your hand, you know. You know, somebody is in error and you just want to smack them. No. Let love lead. Amen? Let the love of God prevail. 1 John chapter 4, as I wind down now, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. Let us love one another. The Bible says in the book of John, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another. So when you see people who are saying, you know, I'm offended, I'm angry with this person, I can never forgive that person, you are out of order. It doesn't matter what the person did, you are out of order. Fix it and continue enjoying the blessings and the benefits of his love. Because you going off and spreading that news about what the person did and how they are so much in error and you can never forgive them, guess what? You just unplugged yourself and you're creating chaos. And God is not the author of confusion. And it's crazy that some people, you know, you are so bitter on the inside and you want to hurt somebody else, you know, and you're carrying this thing on the inside of you and hoping that the Lord will deal with that person and the person continues to be blessed. You wake up every morning and the person wakes up too. And the person is smiling and maybe you show up in church and the person is dancing extra and you are boiling on the inside. Oh my goodness. I wish your heel would just break. You know? No. Fix you. Fall back in love and fall in line. Back in the 90s, one thing that was popular then was, it wasn't that, you know, you come into church and say, the word of God is not here. No. Nobody was looking for power in church. People were looking for love in the house of God. When you go and follow somebody up and say, why haven't you been in church? They tell you bluntly, listen, there's no love in that church. Because they expected to see God's people show love. You come in and you want to feel that love in the atmosphere. And that was what grew churches back in the 90s, the love of God. Not the music, not the lights. Sometimes the singing was so crappy back then, but nobody cared. Church service ends at 1, and you're still in church at 4 p.m., hanging out with the saints. You just don't want to go. And you're looking forward to coming back again. But I encourage us, let this fellowship go beyond here. Let's reach out to one another beyond this space. You know, love on one another. Hang out with one another. You know, let our love be infectious. Let it affect our community. Listen, when we begin to love the way God wants us, our world will change. The politics will change. Amen? The society will change. It will heal a lot of nonsense that is going on around in our world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you rise up on your feet? Praise the name of the Lord. Have you been blessed today? God loves us. And we know that He loves us. And we will choose to love our fellow man the way He loves us. Let us just lift up our hands and thank the Lord for the word that we have received. Father, we thank You. We give You praise. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. For Your everlasting love. For Your love that never quits. Your love that never fails. You keep on loving us. You keep on loving us. We know that You love us. We are so grateful. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for Your shed blood. We thank You, O God, for saving us, for redeeming us. And here we stand, O God, in the household of faith. We stand amongst every believer in this place right now, lifting up holy hands, O God, in thanksgiving to You for Your love. Lord, we thank You. We give You praise. We receive Your love. We acknowledge Your love. We receive it, O God. We are convinced that You love us, O God. And we resist every temptation to walk away from it. Lord, nothing created, nothing that is about to be created, no demon can talk us out of Your love. Nothing can convince us that You do not love us. And Father, we will strive, O God, to express our love for You. Not because we want You to love us more, but because we want to love You more. We will love our brother. We will love our sister. We will show up. We will hold up the hand of our brothers. We will not let the wounded soldier die. We thank You, Father God. Oh, Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. We are growing stronger and stronger as a church. We are growing stronger and stronger as believers. We are affecting and infecting our world with this love. This love is infectious. It's affecting our schools, our communities, oh God. Our society, Lord. We are bringing real change and lasting change to our world because of Your love. We thank You, Lord. We give You praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.